We might have our first slide. Thank you. So today we're looking at who has your heart. And depending on who has your heart will then outflow how you're going to live your life. And and Alex has been illustrating to us that sometimes where we go may be not where God wants to take us, and he wants to send us in his directions. So who has your heart today? Or what has captivated your heart? So we've been looking here on a Sunday afternoon, we've been looking at vision and how vision is really helpful for our lives. When we have a personal vision, it helps give us direction so we know where we're going to and it helps shape our decisions along the way. And we've discovered too, as we've looked at God's word, that God actually has a vision for us. In Ephesians 1 verse 5, it said, even before the creation of the world, before anything could be seen, God had a vision for us. And it was about our identity and our relationship with God and our lifestyle. And it talks about being holy and blameless. It talks about that we know that we're God's children and that we're with him forever. And we have a glorious hope, a living hope because of that, which is fantastic, isn't it? It's awesome. And we also have learned as we look toward the end of what Scripture says in Revelation that we are to be the bride of Christ. The church is without blemish and is pure in motive and in everything she does. And we can do it all because of the grace that we've all experienced through Christ. It's only because Christ was willing to come to live, to die, to show us how to live, to show us what the Father is like, to die, take the sin of the world upon himself and to rise into new life. And because of the grace that we experience through Christ, we have grace upon grace, blessing upon blessing in our lives. So our red fabric today represents Jesus Christ and the grace and the blessing we have through him. And when Jesus rose again, obviously we know that he went to sit at the right hand of the Father, came back to be with the Father, and at that point the Holy Spirit was released. And so now we have this white fabric, the Holy Spirit. And so now we stand in the era of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is helping us now to be ready to be this beautiful bride. Now, sometimes I wonder, how do guys feel about being a bride? You know, can you get your head around that? You're okay? That's good. Because, we have to remember that God, who's infinite, only has finite human language to try and describe very deep and wonderful and powerful spiritual realities. And so even back in the Old Testament, the prophets would, God would speak through his prophets and say, don't you realise that I'm your husband? And we're going to be the bride. Other wedding type imagery. So what can we glean from that? What we can obviously glean from that is the type of relationship that God wants with us. He wants it to be so intimate and so beautiful as marriage is meant to be. Because, you know, there is no marriage in heaven. God made up the whole thing just for us. He made something very concrete and real that we get to experience here on earth to show us, do you know what? The relationship I want with you is not some dreamy, imaginary thing. It's concrete and it's real. And I want you to know that you can trust me in anything because I'm like a husband to you. And so we are in the era of the Holy Spirit, walking out trust, love and obedience to a beautiful God that loves us in such concrete ways. And so we've, as we pondered over this, that we're on this journey toward God's vision for us, we want to implement a strategy which we've called Grow Strategy. And so we want to get ready for Christ's return. We want to focus on our relationships with others, opportunities. What's God asking us to do? Alex has given us some ideas. To be his light, to bring others into the kingdom and a worshipful lifestyle. So today we're looking at G, getting ready for Christ's return and to be his bride. Now, I think something it's good to get to be aware of is that I know back in the 1980s, a lot of you weren't born then, of course, but there was this great push about Jesus coming again. And some people focused on it so much that they stopped really living life and they thought, we'll just wait around for Jesus to come. But Jesus even said, you know what, I don't even know the day or the hour that I'm going to come again. That's my Father to work out and to know. We don't need to worry about that. Just keep on living life with me, with the Spirit in you. But he did say, be ready, because we don't know when he's going to come. Be ready. So how can we do that? Straight on from that in Matthew, once he says, you know, you don't know the day or the hour, but be ready. He talks about a story. He loves stories. I think Jesus loves stories because, again, he can only use earthly words, which can be limiting. But stories, don't they? They take you on this imaginative journey, don't they? And so you get to feel and experience and you get so much more. So Jesus talks about this story of 10 virgins. Oh, wow, this is very in line with what we're talking about. That's pretty good, Jesus. Thanks for that. So he said, you know, the 25:1, you can read it later. Starting in verse 1, he says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Okay. 5 of them were foolish, he says, and 5 were wise. The wise took oil in jars because they all had their lamps, but the wise had wise virgins had oil in jars. And the bridegroom seemed to take a long time coming. They were waiting. They all fell drowsy and fell asleep. You can't really, you know, it's a long time waiting. That's fine. Okay, at midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And all the virgins woke up and they trimmed their lamps. They put oil in their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. And the wise virgins had to say no. There may not be enough for both of us, me and you. Instead, you need to go and get your own oil. But while they were on their way, getting their own oil, the bridegroom arrived. So the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet and the door was shut. Later the others came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. Come on, we're here, we're ready. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. And so Jesus ends the story by saying, therefore keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. What can we learn from this story? Obviously the virgins, they're engaged to be married to the bridegroom. Obviously they're waiting for that one and only. Their bridegroom has captivated their hearts. And the virgin in this story is us, the church, the believers waiting for the return of Christ. And, of course, the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. So they're virgins. So that means they have not been intimate with another man, another person. they're waiting. They've got allegiance. Their heart has allegiance to their bridegroom. And so for us, the church, there needs to be that purity of heart and life and allegiance to our King, Jesus Christ. So that's obviously, they all had that, the 10 virgins, but then one thing stood out, didn't it? Five of them had oil, and the oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. And so that means to be a ready church, we need to have allegiance to Jesus Christ, but we need to be a people that are filled and keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. This is interesting. Could you put out the next point? No. Okay. So, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fantastic. Something alarming, though, as I was talking to Ty about this, and he pointed this out, that there's 10 virgins, and I guess they kind of represent the believers in the world waiting for Jesus. And out of all the believers, half make it. That's sobering, isn't it? Only half get taken into the wedding feast. So to be ready for Christ's return, we need to put our faith in Jesus. And with Holy Spirit in us and with us, we need Holy Spirit to help grow us up in readiness for when Jesus returns. So it's important. We need to grow spiritually. We need to become spiritually mature so that we are ever ready. So the onus on us is that we must engage in this growth process. Okay, so when we become Christians, we've said yes to Jesus. I love you. I want you to be the Lord of my life, and the Holy Spirit comes in. But we're spiritual babies, and the Lord wants us to grow. So the disciples asked Jesus about how do people grow? And interestingly, Jesus talked about another story of the sower and the seed and what the soil is like. And he said, it's not so much about what you know, but it's about your heart. So it's not so much about what you know about me, that's important, but it's the state of your heart. And Jesus said, for the unbeliever, their heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, that they might even understand with their hearts. It's a heart thing. And turn. And then I would heal them. So it's so important that we have a soft and receptive heart toward Jesus, so that the Holy Spirit and with the love of God can transform us, heal us, bring us one step further along our journey to grow us from glory to glory. So what's the state of your heart this afternoon? What's the state of my heart? How do we increase the romance? Because we've all been invited to be part of this divine romance. Every one of us here. There's another account where Jesus goes to hang out with his friends, Mary and Martha. And we see in that story that there's two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha, I can imagine Martha, wanting to get everything ready because Jesus is here. He's awesome. We love Jesus. And wants help from Mary. And Mary, where's Mary? Can't find Mary. Oh, there she is, sitting at the feet of Jesus, staring up at Jesus and just gleaning every word that comes out of his mouth. And so Martha complains to Jesus, don't you care about me? Look, I'm doing all this work. And Jesus says to Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. We can be upset and distracted by many things, can't we? And Jesus said, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better. her heart was captivated by Jesus. What's captivated your heart? What's captivated my heart today? We can have lots of distractions in our lives, but the Lord is asking us to come, spend time with Jesus. And we'll know what has captivated our hearts if you think about your week. You might go to work and you have to do that. When you come home, what do you do? What do you spend your time in? What do you spend your money getting? Who do you hang out with? All of those things tell us what has captivated our heart. What do we really want? But Scripture encourages us to yearn for the Lord, but to keep our devotion of Him sincere and simple. There is effort. We want to make time, but let's not complicate it. Paul wrote to the churches in Corinth because they were getting a bit of a complicated message and listening to false teachers. And he said, you know, Paul said to them, I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, there is deception in our world, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And now and again, the Lord reminds me of some of my journey. And I remember when I was about 11 years of age, and I'm not sure what happened, but I clearly know there was a period in my life where I just want to sit in my room and sit on my bed, and I'd find pictures of Jesus, and I just want to be looking at Jesus. Something about Jesus captivated my heart. And I thought to myself, I want to be a nun one day. Because I just imagined that nuns would sit in these wonderful buildings, and they'd sit, you know, and I can imagine sitting upstairs and looking down at a beautiful garden and just thinking about Jesus all day. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just to think about Jesus all the time. You know, sometimes I think we lose our childlikeness in our desire to just adore the lover of our souls. And I remember years later when I actually put my faith in Christ, and I was 19, and I remember God reminded me about when I was 11 years of age, and the Lord had captivated and wooed my heart to Him again. And I at that point said, yes, Lord, I know who you are. I want you to be my king in everything. You're going to decide everything for me because you know what's best for me. And when I would drive around in my car with music playing, there might be a love song that would come on the radio. And I wouldn't imagine an earthly young man that I was singing that to. I would imagine in my mind that I'm singing to Jesus. And I would just sing these love songs to Jesus. God can use anything. We don't have to sing a religious song. He can use anything that we come across in life to make it worship and praise to Him. Sometimes we just need to start singing some simple songs to Jesus when it's just you and Him. All right. We want to grow. We want to grow in the right way, don't we? How can we improve our spiritual growth? Well, we want to know more about Jesus. To do that, read the Bible with Holy Spirit. Read the Bible with the Holy Spirit. I can't emphasize that enough. We need to know. Peter wrote to the churches, and he said to them, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. A clear message for us, isn't it? Crave God's word. You crave God's word. Sometimes I know, even as a young Christian, I walk around holding my Bible because Jesus said that He's the truth. The Word of God is God's truth to us. It's almost, you know, sometimes I wasn't reading it, but I was holding on to it. There's this passionate love that God wants us to have for Him. Like when you are in earthly love and you meet someone that just makes your heart skip a beat, well, God wants to be that most of all. He wants to be our number one lover. The founder of Vineyard Church is John Wimber. In terms of spiritual growth and growing up, he was known to say, "I really hope I grow up before I grow old." Just because we get older, it doesn't mean that we're wiser. Our wisdom and our knowledge comes by how much we're really allowing our hearts to devote to Jesus Christ. And, you know, we've been given everything we need to do just that. We've been given Holy Spirit. And in 2 Timothy, we read that God, this Spirit is not a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love and self-discipline. Sometimes we don't like that word, self-discipline. But we need to practice self-discipline because that's what the Spirit is enabling us for us. And without the self-discipline, we can lack the fruitfulness and the growth that God really actually desires for you and for us. Sometimes without that self-discipline, we're missing out on other stuff that God actually wants to really build into your life. So, okay. What can we do now? How do we walk this out? Well, it's hearing what God is saying to us and actually doing it, walking in obedience. And we can know that God so loves us and He speaks to us and guides us. He has us in His care. We can fully trust Him. And as a church, we can fully trust Him. Some of you may have heard, but at the end of last year, God whispered into Toe's ear and said, "This is not the building. We're in a different place. This is not the building that I want you to stay in if you want to keep growing in me." We didn't really know what all that meant. We just knew that God was asking us to move. And so, wow, this wonderful door opened up and we're here. And all that was in place, and then we get the phone call from the previous fellowship to say, "Oh, just to let you know, we're leaving this building at the end of the year." God knew, we didn't. And God really helped us to dodge maybe a difficult season or a situation. You see, God sees us, loves us, and is leading us. So the question this afternoon is, what small step can you make today that will help you grow in Christ? Not all my points have come out. Oh, there we go. Now they're coming out. Oh, now we're going to there. Great. I like this picture. This little boy is climbing up the steps. He's not even taking steps. He's crawling. But, you know, he's determined. He wants to get to the top. So it doesn't matter how small our efforts are, we can start somewhere. Maybe we need to make more time in your day to spend with God. Read the Bible. How might you do that a bit more? Maybe do it with others. Get into a small group. Get transformed together. It's so exciting. And whatever the Holy Spirit might lead you to do. Awesome. Can I ask the worship team to come up, please? And can I ask us all to stand? We just want to make room for Holy Spirit to come and speak to us in these last few minutes. Let's just pray. Let me just lead us in some prayer. Maybe the team can just start playing quietly. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful journey you have us on. Wow. Your vision for us is spectacular. We love you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we can love you because you loved us first. Before the creation of the world, but even before we came into being, Lord, you have given it all for us that we might know you and might know and experience new life. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us. That, God, you have poured out your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that we have. So we thank you for your love, Lord, and we invite you in. Holy Spirit, we invite you in. We thank you, your love opens up our hearts to see more. That your love helps us to see. There's a saying that we have on earth that love is blind, but that's actually completely wrong. Love helps us to see, opens our hearts to see more. So Holy Spirit, would you just pour out your love into our hearts right now, Lord God. May our hearts be so soft and receptive to you right now, Lord. Come and have your way. Because we want to say yes to this beautiful process of growth that you have started. And we want to continue with you. So come, Lord. Come and show us our journey with you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.